The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have Aphrodite!
Swangles and Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble or listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate your support and couldn't do it without you. Did you know that the Octopus of Global Control audiobook is available? It's now out. It's there on Audible and Spotify and Amazon and iTunes and wherever you get audiobooks. So check it out and see what you think. It's 23 hours. It'll keep you. You'll get your money's worth. I assure you of that. Hey, big thank you to our sponsors. The folks at Legal Shield have been doing this in the United States and Canada for 50 years, and they will get you access to an attorney in your area for a very reasonable rate, $1 a day, $30 a month. It's very affordable. You can take care of all kinds of documents. Do you have a last will and testament? Do you have a financial power of attorney, a medical directive? You got to have those things. You don't want to get stuck in a hospital without those. And so, but nobody wants to spend a couple $1,000s to have an attorney draft those documents, of course. But with your membership to Legal Shield, you'll have access to an attorney that can knock that out for you. Like in the first week of your membership, it's very easy. You'll have an app on your phone. You just push a couple buttons and tell the app what you want to do, and it'll take care of it. So if you are interested in something like that, or if you run a small business and you need a small business legal department, or you need Identity Shield or something along those lines, the best thing to do is just go to the website, read up about it, see if it's right for you. And if it is, you can pull the trigger. The website is www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. The link for that is down in the show notes. The link for it is also on my website, macroaggressions.io. If you're driving around and you don't have time to take notes, that's cool. Just go to the website. You'll find everything about the sponsorships there, but Legal Shield will help you out, and it's about the best money you'll ever spend. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the place to do that. And also thanks to Chemical Free Body, who've been with us from the beginning. I mean, it's just a decision you're going to have to make. Are you going to take care of yourself or not? You know, it's really just kind of boils down to that. Are you going to do the things that you need to do to make sure that you are healthy? Chemical Free Body sells supplements that actually work. It's amazing. I know, crazy that they would do something as revolutionary as sell you something that actually does what it is supposed to do. But in this industry, a lot of people don't. Right. So Chemical Free Buddy is one of them. It's a great place to go. Take a look, see what you think, do some shopping. On your way out, use the discount code MACRO to save yourself a little bit of money. You won't regret it. ChemicalFreeBuddy.com is the place to go. All right. Now that we got the business out of the way, I'm excited for this one. Ladies and gentlemen, the conscious man, Todd Cave. Good to see you, Todd. How are you?
I'm good, Charlie, Matt, and I'm very happy to be here and to talk with you, man.
Me too. Well, there's a lot to talk about. And, you know, I get into all the governmental stuff and I get bogged down with the media and I argue with morons online and I do all the things that you're not supposed to do. And it's fun and it keeps me busy for sure. But there is a part of this stuff that I don't do too much work on, but it doesn't mean that I don't like it and have a deep interest in it. And this is all of the ancient history of this planet that we live on, what is really happening. I have a deep fascination for it, but I'm not going to pretend to know too much about it. So I really like having the conversations with the people that have spent the time and done the work and done the research to dig into this and know, where are we, Todd? Are we on a spinning ball flying through the galaxy at a million miles an hour? Are we in an enclosed terrarium? Are we on a very complex simulation? I mean, I can go anywhere. I'm willing to go just about anywhere. And so I'm excited that we're going to have this talk about this. Good to see you, man. Where do we even start, right? I guess with where are we? Can you give me a map as to where we are? You are here, you know?
Well, that's a really good question. And the thing is that the truth is that we don't actually know 100%, because you have camps like the Flat Earth camp and you have the heliocentric model camp. And to be honest, I am actually right down the middle where I believe they're both right, right? And the reason for that is that, one, we have no straight lines in nature and in the universe. Everything has symmetry and everything is built around a toroid, right? Toroidal energy, right, is the actual energy for infinite energy, right? And the thing is that we have a toroid inside of us as well, but it's in the form of a Merkaba. And the way the Merkaba can be described is the actual star of David, where you have the two upside down triangles. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is that those two, they're located here in this, just above by your heart. And from my research, when you can spin, cause this is all like spiritual as well too, right? Metaphysical. So when you spin those two triangles in opposite directions, you create the toroidal energy and field. And that is where you get the zero point energy. This allows you to be able to come in and out of this dimension, right? So you are able to travel with the body, because the body in fact is a vehicle, right? The body was created to travel in. So this is where you have things like celestial bodies, you have energetic bodies, you have a body. The body is the vehicle that carries you, right? So we don't know 100% if the earth is actually flat or round. I tend to be a person where I think that we live on the flat part and we have a rounded sides, a flat bottom, because there's something called the inner earth. And the inner earth is something that has been spoken about by many traditions. The Dogons, the Aborigines, the Hopis, the Navajos, they've all spoken of the inner earth. Even Admiral Byrd in 1947, he went to the inner earth. His plane, when he went to Antarctica, was landed by what he called Fugle rods. So they had like a tractor beam and they stopped all of his gadgets and instruments from working, and they lowered his vessel to the ground.
Right.
And he described that these beings were over 7 foot tall, right? And they were of white color. Now, the thing is that a lot of people tend to get even so bogged down in color, but the mere fact that we have different color skin, when you look at it, this is the different races of extraterrestrials that have actually visited Earth, right? So we can go down even that rabbit hole in the sense of, when you look at the Sumerian tablets talk about a group of entities or beings or deities, whatever word you want to use. They call themselves gods with a small g. They came here to mine minerals and resources. through that task of mining minerals and resources, they ended up creating a slave race, which became us. So our cousins, what they did is that they took, there was a hominid species that existed on Earth before, and they took their DNA and mixed it with that hominid species through many experiments, and they created us, right? And then we look at the Sumerian tablets. You see there's a tablet called the Sumerian King's List. And these first humans lived for extremely long time. They are called the eight immortal kings. And they ruled for a total of 241,200 years. So what it is now is that those first set of the creation, the Adapu or the Adamu, right? Because there's a tablet called the Myth of Adapa. And the Myth of Adapa, Enki tells Adapa that he said, I created you to be the best of us. And when he was speaking the best of us, meaning the Anunnaki, because the word Anunnaki simply means those from heaven to earth came. So all it is that these are different beings that look like us, just taller than us. They put on their pants one leg at a time. They have sex. They drink beer. They have emotions. Basically, if you're looking for aliens, look at yourself in the mirror. You are the alien because you're not native to this planet, right? So what it is now is that you had these beings that came to Earth and they've created a slave race, right? But what happened is that there are a lot of stories in the Bible that actually come from these Sumerian tablets. So what it is now is that when you look at the Genesis story, when you look at Genesis, there were actually more than one flood. There were two floods. And the first big flood that happened about 240,000 years ago, 241,000. And after that, all the lifespans of humans became shorter and shorter and shorter. So what happened is that they realized that, you know what, we messed up here. These guys are living too long. They're getting too much consciousness and too much knowledge. And this is where the story in the Bible of the book of the Tower of Babel comes from, where the humans built a tower to go and kill God. But when on further investigation, that actually looks like it could have been like a launch pad that humans were trying to build a spaceship to launch themselves up to God, because God was in a spaceship, because these gods masqueraded themselves as, these beings masqueraded themselves as gods. And then they put themselves into the religions so that they would have constant veneration. So what it is now is that the reason why everything is so convoluted, you have flat earth versus round earth. You have, you know what I mean? There's no God. There is a God. You have right. You have left. You have this and you have that. It is all to create division amongst us so that we keep fighting. Because in that same story about the Tower of Babel, God, quotation marks, said there's nothing that they cannot do, and soon they will become like us. So he said, let us confuse man so that they were no longer speaking one voice. So it's from then now that you saw that the consciousness started to get watered down. Because if you have different languages, and just let's make it relative. This conversation we're having now is in English. A person that's living in Russia who has internet is free to listen to this conversation. However, if they don't speak English, they will not even be able to understand anything we're saying. So it means now that no matter how valuable the information is that we share, they will never be able to benefit because they don't speak English. And that is one of the things that they did. So getting back to the color of skin. So there's a story in the Bible that is, a lot of people don't ask the right questions when it comes to religion. So when Cain killed Abel, Cain said to God, but if you, I'm paraphrasing, this is not exactly what he said, but this is the gist. He says, but if you kick me out of the Garden of Eden, then my life would be in danger because they would want to kill me. The first question is, who is they? Right?
Yeah.
According to the Bible narrative, Adam and Eve were the only two humans in earth in existence in all of time. Right? They had two children, right? Cain and Abel, right? No girls, according to the narrative, right? So if Cain gets kicked out of the Garden of Eden, right? And Cain is banished, who is they who will kill him?
I don't know.
Good. And this is what God said, quotation marks, God, I will put my mark on you so that they know that you are mine. So that mark is a genetic mark, which is where the different color of skins come from. Because when you look at the different regions, you have like the Indus Valley. The Indus Valley was given to Inanna or Isis, Ishtar, right? This is why Deus people have such a high level of consciousness in terms of the Hindus, right? The Vedas have some great information in it. You have, in the Vedas, you have, they're noble extraterrestrials in the Vedas. You know? They have spaceships. They call them Venatos. I came from memory. Vimanas, that's it. And they call them flying ships. Flying cities, right?
Flying cities, yeah. Ooh,
Vimanas.
Better.
But I do flying cities.
City.
Correct. No, the genetic mark that Inanna put on them was dark-skinned people with straight hair, right? This is why you see in different parts of the world, people look different, because each Anunnaki leader, quotation marks, God, put their marker on their people.
Gotcha.
So that when another person sees that person, they'd be like, oh, you belong to Enlil, you belong to Enki, you belong to Marduk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Right? So it is all about division, and it's all about separation. And even the Anunnaki know that there is a creator of all things, and that they are not it, and they know that they're going to pay for the things that they've done. Because even in one of the tablets, even Enlil says that the creator of all things, one day we will have to answer to the creator of all things. So even they know that what they're doing. But excuse me, because human beings have a very big ego, and I would call them advanced humans, this is why we tend to have taken after them, right? And a lot of their attributes and ways of being, you know? So where we are now is we're at a precipice. We're at a crossroads. We entered the age of Aquarius, and the great sign in heaven was spotted on September 23rd, 2017. And according to Revelations 12, that is basically the beginning of the 7 days of tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation. Now, is it a literal 7 years or is it a figurative 7 years? No one knows, for example, for sure, because one day in the eyes of God could be 7 million years in the eyes of humans.
Right, yeah.
You know, we don't know, you know? That's the thing.
It cracks me up. I'm still thinking of the Admiral Byrd thing. You know, Admiral Byrd goes and comes back and he's like, I got caught in a tractor beam. They pulled me into an underground city in the inner earth, and these beings came out and they talked to me. And I love that the first question is, were they white? You know, like concerned about the skin color. It's like, I went to inner earth. I flew around Antarctica and it was supposed to be filled with snow and I saw nothing but greenery. You know what I mean? Like that whole story when he came back, that was to me, you know, listen, I'm not, I can't fact check his work. Obviously I can't get to Antarctica to understand and see what he saw. But I remember hearing that story the first time and thinking, this is really weird that it's coming from a guy who has a military background. Normally they shut those guys up. And yet here this guy is, and he's Admiral Byrd. He's not Steve Byrd cleaning up the place, right? I mean, he's Admiral Byrd, right? He is talking about this stuff with a level of certainty and experience and expertise that you would want to hear about this. And what was the response? I know he gave an interview in like Chile as soon as he got back. And then what? Did they just immediately shut him up and say, this guy can't be talking about this inner earth stuff? This is going to screw up everything if he's talking about this. Like, what was the response to Admiral Byrd's encounter? Do you remember that?
Well, basically, the media stopped talking about it because around that same time, we had Roswell as well. Right?
Yeah, 47.
So we had a lot of activities. And if you have like an archive Wayback Machine that you can find on the internet, because a lot of these articles have been uploaded, you can find the articles of the Roswell issue, the Admiral Byrd issue, and these things were documented. But we'll see what it is, right? Is that there's multiple levels of control. And the gist of it is that they have to tell us the truth, right? But there's a catch to it. They tell us the truth, and then they tell us the lie at the same time, right? It's a bit like religion. Religion does have some good truths in it, and it has some lies in it at the same time. It is just like a political candidate. A political candidate can talk some, say, really good, smart things and be very honest about certain things, but then other things, he would not be very honest because politicians are bought and paid for. The problem is that we have been trained to just accept the whole package. This is why, for me, for example, I am apolitical. I am an apolitical atheist. However, I would say that there's some things I like about Donald Trump, and there's some things I like what he says, and there are other things I don't, right?
Right.
And I use the specific word called like and not support, because support means you take the whole package. And this is what it is like religion. Religion, you have to take the stick and the carrot, right? So the carrot is like the very good information, and the stick is the bad part, the part that like makes you scratch your mind and say, but this, how can God sanction all of these stuff? But no, Todd, you are supposed to swallow it because you have to support God. You have to support Donald Trump. You have to support Big Joe Biden. That is the same ethos that they've put onto the world, right? So what they've done is that they've told us a lot. Honestly, people say that when are we going to get disclosure? I think we already have had disclosure. However, is like that saying that goes, the emperor has no clothes, and it took a little boy to show everyone the emperor has no clothes. Well, right now the emperor has no clothes, but no one is seeing that the emperor is naked and he doesn't have on this fine garments that is, quotation marks, so expensive. So they have told us exactly what they're doing. They've told us exactly what it is, but because the media are bought and paid for, the media will tell you the truth probably once, and then put 100 stories later to bury that. So what will happen is that unless you're a real truth seeker, you're not going to be able to find the truth, because there's 99 layers of lies, and then there's one at the bottom that you're like, oh, thank you very much, for people like me and you that will search for. So this is the problem that we have. It's like magic. The magician distracts you over here and picks your pocket over here, right? Diversion. And that's how the system works.
They've been picking our pockets pretty good lately, too. There's been a lot of distractions, a lot going on. They want us to look here while they do other things. They want us to look in the sky. It makes me think that, like the magician, they want us to look in the sky. So I start to want to look underground. Are we sure there's not more going on underground? I mean, you mentioned earlier these stories of the Navajo. I mean, ant people. We have stories of inner earth. We have cave systems that are unexplored, but at least by us here in North America, where we know that they're there, but we're pretty hesitant to explore them. We have stories of Grand Canyon gold being stored in caves. There's a lot going on underground that we're not aware of. Is that where we should really be looking, you think?
Well, I think, yes, that is where we should be looking as well, because there's some really good work going on now in Turkey at the Kef temples with Matthew LaCroix and this other guy, Paul. I can't remember his last name off the top of my head, but they're about to basically rewrite history, because it is very possible that Kef could be up to 80,000 years old, but conservatively, we're talking about 36,000, right? So we're about...
it's still a lot. It still messes up history if it's that old.
And the reason is that we have to actually look both above the earth and below the earth, because as above, so below. Now, there is a reason from looking at the information that I decipher why they're doing all these things with the sky. Now, according to the Sumerian tablets and also the legends of these native peoples, the gods, which are the Anunnaki, will walk Earth again. But it appears that maybe 2,000 years ago, give or take, they left and they went into the behind the scenes, and they've had their bloodlines running the Earth. So we have a very complicated structure that runs the Earth now. We have the big level, which is called the Committee of 300, also known as the Olympians. And then in that 300, you have the three levels of 13 families that are the real power holders of the planet. And then you, under there, you have the Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, Norton Institute for International Affairs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, those people, that group, are the Anunnaki descendants. They're their progeny, and they were tasked to rule the earth. This is why you find that the heads of state, the monarchies, they all have a different behavior in terms of that they think it's their divine right to rule, because in some respect, it is their divine right, because the Anunnaki came here, they're their children, and they said, like, oi, you're going to rule, you're going to do this, this, this. So they're even a bit brainwashed themselves, right? Because, you know. So what it is now is that the Anunnaki are going to come back again, but they're tied to a lot of religious things. So right now in Israel, they are building the third temple. And prophecy is that the third temple will be the harbinger for when the Antichrist will come back, will come to earth, right? Now, the thing is that, what should I say? There's a certain group of people who shall remain nameless, because it doesn't matter what platform you are, you say them and you say certain things, you get hammered. So that group of people who shall remain nameless, they worship Satan. But Satan now is a very loaded word, because the word Satan simply means adversary. And there are many different adversaries. Marduk was an adversary. He was a Satan. Enlil was a Satan. Ninurta was a Satan. Shamash was a Satan. You have all these different gods that did things to humanity. And what it is now is that that group of people believe in something called salvation through sin. So they believe that the more sin that there is on earth, the darker the earth gets, the worse it gets, then God will come back and wipe it all out. So their mentality is, if we don't do it, someone else will. So we might as well do it, right?
Right.
And even in that group of people, there's subgroups of that people, right? That are the ones that are really the power holders. And that smaller group are the ones that, for my research, they worship Marduk, or aka Amun-Ra, or Ra. And he's even who wets the Quetzalcoatl for the Aztecs. Moloch, Baal, Baal, same entity. And we know who these entities are, because we track them by their signs and symbols. And he, for the most part, was the bull or the bull calf, right? And one of his screaming attributes is that he loves child sacrifice and he loves human sacrifice. Like, absolutely loves it.
Great. That would explain it. That would explain. Now, I've heard that the name of the planet that is no longer a planet anymore, that has been converted into the asteroid belt, was a planet called Marduk. Is that connection to it? Is that speculation? Is that something else? Is that just a name that they chose for it, or is it nonsense?
Well, according to the Sumerian tablets, and this particular one called the Enuma Elish, and this is the Babylonian version, which is a copy from the Chaldean version, it was, well, in the original version, Enlil was the name given to the planet, and that planet appears to be Mars. Now, or it would have been Nibiru. Now, the reason why I say it could have been is because these names are interchangeable from one translation to the next, which I'll explain in a minute. The next version, which is the one that is more popular, is the Babylonian version, which Enlil's name is replaced as Marduk, right?
Okay.
But in the other tablets, it was mentioned as Nibiru, and then other times it was called Enlil. Now, the planet you're talking about was called Tiamat. So Tiamat was at least three times bigger than Earth. And when the planet Mars or Nibiru, which one it is, crashed into Tiamat, and the way in the Enuma Elish is described, the way it is written, it sounds like it is a celestial phenomenon that's happening. And what they've done is that they've transposed their names into these celestial events to immortalize them so that they become like gods, right? And what happens is that in the tablets, that the asteroid belt is called the Hammer Bracelet, right? So when Alalu, when he's the one that discovered Earth, and when he came here, he talks about how he had to use nuclear weapons to blow through the asteroid belt or the Hammer Bracelet in order to get here. And then the stories about nuclear weapons in the Sumerian tablets are because Alalu brought nuclear weapons from Nibiru to Earth. So there, when you have a lot, you had a lot of pyramid wars, and you have places still to this day, like Mohenjo-Daro in Pakistan, that are radio charged. And anyone that wants to check, just check a place called Mohenjo-Daro. It takes M-O-H-E-N-J-A, Mohenjo-Daro. I could be wrong in the spelling, but that's basically what it is. But put Mohenjo-Daro, Pakistan, and you look at pictures, you will see pulverized bodies, animals still in the streets, people on stairwells in positions that have just been pulverized. And that was one of the pyramid wars that they had, because these Anunnaki went to war a lot and they used nuclear weapons, right? So nuclear weapons that we, quotation mark, invented are not, because nuclear technology came out of the Mahabharata, right? And Robert Oppenheimer, he got that information from the Mahabharata.
He says he did. Yeah.
And then he used the same term that is in the Bhagavad Gita. Now I have become death.
Right.
Right? Now I am become death. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? All these things are very linked. So what it is now is that with the third temple that's being built, that is supposed to be the harbinger of things to come. So things on the earth are about to get really weird. And I'm calling
great.
It. Because we are going to see both extraterrestrial vehicles and human-made extraterrestrial vehicles. Because what it is that there's even in the extraterrestrials, there's division. Some want to help us and some want to enslave us. And the ones that want to enslave us have done a deal with the higher levels that of humans that rule Earth and the governments, and they would, quotation marks, donate spaceships to us, basically just crash them. Because basically there was a declassified document, and there's this book by, I think it's a guy called Sebastian something, I'll get the name for you, and he said that basically the extraterrestrials have done deals with humans, and they would give us these crafts so that we can reverse engineer them, but they wouldn't give us all of the technology to in order to do it. And basically what that has done is that that has created a lot of like things like the abduction of humans. So they come here and they do a lot of abduction of humans. Now it looks like if that is to, because they seem to be like looking for a soul or something, that because they don't seem to have a soul. So I think it's called the truth, the only truth you will ever know, or something like that. If you remind me, I'll give you the exact name and the link and stuff for it on YouTube and the PDF. Sorry. So anyway, they seem to be looking for souls. So they give us technology, they give us high level technology, but they don't give us all the pieces to it. So what it is now is that we're still not as advanced as we think we are, even at the higher levels, because they don't have all the components or all the alloys to even make it. And what it is now is that it keeps us giving a lot of human sacrifice to them, because they do a lot of abductions. Well, look, I can give you a story here that's mad. I dated a girl a few years ago, and she said to me, because as I was sharing this stuff with her, she said, "Todd, I've got a really crazy story for you." She says, "Only now talking to you that it kind of like made sense and I kind of like believe it," because at first she didn't. She said that one, her daughter said to her one day, she was at a park, sitting down at a park bench, and this guy literally just came and sat next to her. He didn't say hello. He didn't say anything. And he said, "So they did stuff to you as well." She looked at him like, "How you mean?" She said, "Well, basically they took me in this spaceship, and they started to probe me and do all these weird experiments on me. And they inserted this thing into my arm, and it's almost like a tracking system, right? And she said, yeah, they did that to me as well. So what it is now is that the girl I was dealing with, she thought that her daughter had lost it. So they referred her to a psychiatrist and, you know, psychologist and all that stuff, put her on medicines and stuff. And I think that that's one of the reasons why her daughter is, how should I put it? She has like some erratic behavior at times, right? And I think it stems from when she was a child, no one believed her. And how random it is for you to be sitting down and someone to sit next to you and just open up the conversation, no previous knowledge of the person, say, hey, they did stuff to you as well, right? So when I heard that, I was like, yeah, there's a lot of trading of technology, but we're giving humans for technology. That's how it seems to be.
I wonder if there is a, this guy could obviously tell that the girl had some sort of tracking device, or maybe he just knew instinctively that she had been through the same trauma that he had been through. What a weird thing to say to some random person that you sit next to at a park bench.
Yeah, because she said that for years she thought that her daughter was like bipolar or something. Mm-hmm. And I think that in a lot of situations where we think people are mad, as a person that's done a lot of psychedelics and done a lot of ceremonies, yeah, my understand is that most of these people are actually able to see through the veil. They're able to see different entities, beings, hear voices from other dimensions, right? Yeah. Something inside of them has opened up to give them that ability. But because in this 3D world where we're governed by our five senses, we're not able to process that information in a true, accurate, and I guess sympathetic way, right? So we put them on drugs and shock therapy and XYZ, and it just makes the situation worse. So I don't really think that these people are actually mad. I actually think that they're able to, excuse me, see through the veil, right? So this is why I say that I think that we're going to see crazy stuff like human-made UFOs, extraterrestrial UFOs. We're going to probably have a fake alien invasion or real alien invasion or both at the same time, or a combination, right?
Right.
We're going to see things like holograms. We're going to see wormholes open in the sky. We're going to see portals, because
we've seen the Norway spire, that unusual spiral that happened in the sky in Norway, mm-hmm, 20 mm-hmm. years ago. I saw that video and you go, mm-hmm, I mean, you know, you see something like that in your backyard, it's pretty tough to explain that away, right? So I'm sure there's a good reason for it, but still, we're getting a lot of predictive programming. We're getting a lot of people talking about this in advance about UFOs. We had aliens in the Miami Mall earlier this year. You know what I mean? You feel some of it is cartoonish and stupid and it feels very fake, and other parts of it feel very much like they're laying the groundwork for the future for them to build off of these stories that they're telling. I've heard a lot about, you know, the fake alien invasion, Wernher von Braun talking about that in the future, the fake alien invasion, don't fall for it. So we're aware of it. I mean, at least we in this kind of little world of ours, we're aware of it, but the general public isn't. They would never know. They would never think that that was fake. They would immediately think that that was real. They would think it was Independence Day, like, but just a real live action version of it. So they're not going to have a difficult time fooling people, are they? I mean, I think that this is going to probably work to really freak people out if they do a good job with it, right?
I think that they've done a fantastic job. And just go back 4 years ago, look at how many people were wearing face diapers, you know what I mean? And trying to force other people to wear face diapers, and then forcing people to inject themselves with lethal poison, you know? You know what I mean? It's like, the amount of people that have done these things, it is absolutely mad. And well, according to what scripture does say, especially in Revelation, it says that man's hearts will fail them and man will lose his mind. And this is why I try to do my best to teach, inform, and educate others about what things are going on. And I don't expect people to agree with everything I say, but my job, and this is one of the jobs that I have elected to do when I reincarnated here, was to lift up rocks, open doors, and say, hey, you may want to look over there. Hey, that book you may want to read. Hey, you see over there, you may want to talk to that person, etc. And then from there, you teach yourself, because I do not believe that, how should I put it? We will never agree on everything. That is impossible. But what we can agree on is that, one, there's a prison planet. Two, the system is rigged. Three, the money is fake. Four, the governments are a joke. Five, the education system makes you stupid. Six, the health system kills you. And seven, the legal system is there to put you in prison, right? If we can agree on those small seven things, I think the little, small, little, if the earth is flat or round or not, we can put aside, right?
I agree. Those are the main things. We work out the big stuff. We can debate. We can have fun with the little things. Speaking of the little things, let me ask you this: since we're talking about unusual things, feels like in this prison planet that we are living on, that there is a form of like an energetic war. That there is something out there trying to steal our energy from us. My friend Sam Tripoli says they're stealing our loosh. You know, they're stealing our loosh from us, right? They're stealing our energetic life force. Do you think that there is something going on that is removing the energetic life force from people?
Absolutely, I believe that. And I think Sam is correct. And I'm going to take it a little deeper on that, because The Matrix was not a movie. The Matrix was a documentary.
No kidding.
And what I would say is that behind all of this, even in terms of the Anunnaki, there is a dark energy force that controls even them, right? Now, this part here is a bit, I don't want to call it woo-woo, but it's going to be a little bit of a stretch for some people. Now, I'm currently reading a book called The Ringmakers of Saturn. Very interesting.
Oh, yes, by Neil Bagram.
And what I would say is, look, I haven't finished it yet, but I've seen, you know, it's quite possible, because he lays out some pretty good evidence there to really thought provoke you. And you remember we were talking about a certain group of people who shall remain nameless?
Yes.
Now, that particular group, if you were to ask them, why do they have that particular star as their symbol? None of them will be able to tell you. But I can actually, I have some information here that's quite interesting. And you said that it is energetic, and I concur it's energetic, because basically if you look, I'm going to give some receipts here for people to look for. So the planet Saturn actually is mentioned in the Bible, but not by that name. When you research what that name is, and the name that is given is Remphan, R-E-M-P-H-A-N. And if you go to Amos 5, 26 to 27, it reads, "You took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, the images that you made to worship them." Now, Remphan is actually Saturn. So let me show you some very interesting things here now. Saturn is the sixth star in the solar system. On the top of Saturn is a hexagon. The star of those people who shall remain nameless, when you join the ends of it, is a hexagon. And the number six is the sign of 666 is the number of man. Because we have six protons, six neutrons, six electrons. That is also the number of the beast, which is us. We are the beast, right? So what it is now is that Saturn at one point in time was called the Black Sun. And that the Black Sun seems to be the energy, the dark negative energy source in this part of the solar system. And that energy is being beamed to Earth through the moon. So the moon has a symbiotic relationship with Earth. And the moon as well appears to be a hologram and hollow at the same time. It is also, when you've done penetrating radar, it seems to have levels, like a structure, like maybe a spaceship. So it appears that it could be a cloak, because even in the Mahabharata, they talk about these Vimanas that are able to cloak and decloak, right? So it's not like the technology is not there. So it appears that this dark energy comes from Saturn, and the moon is a transfer device for that energy, and the moon is what creates the matrix, that because the moon is very controlling of our cycles, because you have a lunar canon as well, the cycle for high tide, low tide, a woman's fertility cycle, right? And you know, there's a lot of things that are there that add up to it, right? So it appears that the energy, and remember I said Remphan is actually Saturn. Yeah. But Moloch, as I said, is really Marduk, Amun-Ra, Baal, Baal, Beelzebub. And he is inspirational in making of the Bible by Baal, Bible. So there's a lot of intricacies here that are very, very unusual. And if someone wants another receipt for where to find that, you can find Remphan mentioned in Acts 7:43. Now, in this says it uses the tent and not the tabernacle. You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your God, Remphan, the images that you made to worship, and I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Now, what is very interesting is that that religion that we can't call was actually created in Babylon. And what happened is that those people used to actually have a pantheon of gods. But Ra, Mardu, Amun-Ra, he is the one that tried to bring in this monotheism thing. And what happened is that when the hierarchy in that group of people, they were initiated into his cult, then they pulled in a lot of the Babylon, satanic, occult, black sun worship stuff and put into that religion. And then that religion then was created, because I have even seen some of those people that have even admitted that they created God. When they say created the idea of God, right? It gets really, really wild, right? When you start going on this rabbit hole for that group of people, right? So this is why I say that we are going to have things that are going to come out the sky. Because according to what prophecy is, when you decrypt the information, we're going to have like some sort of a portal, wormhole, a dimensional shift. Something is going to open up and we're going to see things coming through. So this is why I tell people, listen, you need to start to work on yourself now and get yourself in physical shape, get yourself in mental shape, and also in spiritual shape. Because the things that we're going to see are going to blow the socks off you, and it's going to send men mad. And some people are going to commit suicide. There's going to be a lot of violence. They're going to be looting. They're going to be this, because the stock market is going to crash. The dollar is going to go to zero. A lot of things are going to happen, and people are just going to be in shock, right? And it's going to really test us. And without this work being done now in relative peacetime, even it's going to be doing things like psychedelics will help, because you will be able to go into that realm. So the things that you will see will prepare you for what's to come, because it's going to look, I think it's going to be even more amazing than even I can describe. I don't even think my imagination will do it justice, to be honest.
Well, I hope so. They talk about change, you know, these changes and epochs, and they talk about changing times, and it feels like we need a change. I mean, it's been a rough road, and people that normally don't pay attention feel like something's up. They feel like something is unusual, and it's just something really fast. Since you mentioned the moon, David Icke did some great work on this, on the moon matrix, He talked to Zulu shaman Credo Mutwa about a time before the moon when they dragged the moon into the sky and there was I mean, it's easy to be dismissive of this stuff and go, oh, this sounds like hocus pocus. You guys sound crazy out there. I totally admit it sounds nuts for sure when you talk about something like this. But I don't want to get hung up on that because there's a lot of things that I know to be true now that I thought were nuts initially. So I've tried to approach these things that I don't know a ton about with an open mind. And of course, you mentioned psychedelics. Psychedelics have been instrumental in that for me. You know, they've really been foundational. It started for me 30 years ago. I built upon that. I tried not to abuse it. I tried to do the work on my own. But when I got myself into a bind where I maybe needed a little help, the plants were always there to give me a little push. But I tried to do the work as much as I could on my own. But I'll tell you, everybody needs to maybe reevaluate their relationship with whatever they consider their spirit. Their spirit world, their God, their whatever, because we're going to need all hands on deck, you know, like everything that you've got to deal with where we're going. I hope it's a good transition. I mean, I hope that we come out of this in a much better spot, but boy, it feels like we're going to have to go through some uncertainty and some hard times in order to come out the other end. Maybe that's what we need, right? Maybe we need a little hard time. Maybe we need to push through it in order to see if we can do it, right? To see if we've got the strength to come through the other side. And but I'm open for the opportunity. I mean, I'm up for the challenge. Currently, what we've been seeing on this planet is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for humanity, for what we've done. We've taken this beautiful planet and turned it into a shithole in some respects. You know, what the things that we've done, the way we've treated each other and the behavior of our alleged leaders, spiritual leaders, political leaders, business leaders, embarrassing. They should, I think that I saw, what did I see? I forget who the quote was from. Oh, it was Terrence McKenna. He said that before anybody should be elected president, they should be forced to do ayahuasca 100 times. And I thought, yeah, absolutely. It's impossible to want to start World War III when you've been down that. Do you think that's what humanity needs? That humanity needs a little gentle ayahuasca wake-up call for them to maybe snap out of this insanity?
I absolutely agree with that. And I actually... I work with a company now that does magic mushrooms, right? And one of the reasons why I do that is because what I have realized in my own journey is that if it weren't for the medicine, right? I've done ayahuasca as well, fantastic medicine. I've done quite a few.
Yeah.
And the medicine has always shown me things. And when I was at some of the lowest moments of my life, I was able to get answers and make changes in my life. And I do think that if 60% of people on Earth did psychedelics in some form, whether it's Bufo, Cambo, Ayahuasca, Peyote, Bufo Alvarez, humans would treat other humans much, much better, right? Yeah. And this is one of the reasons why I work with that company. So anyone that is interested in mushrooms, you know, also can hit me up on my socials. And but the thing is, right, is that all of the problems we have on Earth come from God. But let me explain before people start throwing the knives at me. Our perception of God is very much thwarted, is very much warped. Because first thing first, God, when you look at the ancient texts, was always, especially in the cuneiform and in Hebrew, was plural. It was gods with a small s, right? Because there are two words. One of the words for God, which is the original word for mean, was theos, right? And basically what's happened is that through transliteration and translation, that God became singular. So what I put people through a bit of a thought experiment. And like what I do is I say, okay, if you want to understand who God is or what God is, let's create equal scales of measurement. So I just start from very basic. I say, okay, can we agree that an apple tree can't produce oranges? Most people say, yeah, I agree with that. It's like, okay, good. No. Can we agree that a person would be called a good person if they do good deeds, have good thoughts, and speak good words? Most people say, yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I'll say, okay. So can we agree then that a bad person is a person that generally does bad things, speaks badly and negatively of others, even of himself, right? And has bad negative thoughts? Most people say, yeah, okay, I can agree. I say, okay. Now we have an equal scale of measurement and we're understanding good and bad. Now let's put those equal scales of measurement to God. So would God be a good God if he were to allow rape, murder, and pillage, and he would tell his people to drive other people from their lands? Now this is where it gets a bit sticky, where you see a lot of people, like, it's like a shock to the system.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, but I said, no. We just agreed that if a person does these things, that person is a bad person. So if God tells his followers to do those things, is that a good God or a bad God? Now, the ones that are intellectually honest will say that's a bad God. I say, okay, and who is the bad God? They would pause, think about it. Satan. Okay, good. I would say, can you show me in the Bible where Satan commits bad deeds? Most of them that read the Bible can't tell you. Well, I will tell you today where is the only place you will find it. It's in Job. Satan, or the character that we call Satan, has only killed 10 people. In the Bible, quotation marks, God has killed at least 3 million people in those scriptures. Mm-hmm. Now I ask the question, is that a good God or a bad God? Good. So the God that we worship from the Bible is actually Satan, right?
Mm.
But Satan just means adversary. Now, in that term, Satan, there are many different gods, right? Enlil was one. Enki was one. Even Marduk was one. Because the word Lord as well, we say, oh, he's my Lord. Lord just means master. Lord means ruler. Now, look, let's transfer that word to present day time. We have something in England called the House of Lords. These are the house of the rulers, the house of the masters, right? Baal means the same thing. Ruler, Lord, Master. That's why he was called Lord Marduk. Lord Bel Marduk, right? Bel meaning Lord, right? No, there's a very interesting book called The Wars of Yahweh, or The Wars of the Lord. And in this book, they tell you how they created the word God, because the word God actually is very limiting. God is ineffable, immutable, omnipresent, forever. There's no word you can actually put on God. But because of language inability, you put a word and you call it God. So they actually, in this book, The Wars of the Lord, they tell you how they create the word God. And there were two groups of people. There were the deists, who were the ones that used to follow what the gods, which are the Anunnaki, the fallen angels, whatever word you want to use. They created the word God to sow separation so that they would follow them. And there was another group of people called the Thavis. Now, the Thavis are the people that no matter what they did, no much hardship they put under, they would never leave the, what you call the Great Spirit. That is the word they used in that. But even in that book, they said the word God, the deists used to follow. And fun fact for you, deists Dios, Deus, same root, right? For God. And the Theavis used to follow the Great Spirit. And the Great Spirit is something that a lot of the Aborigines, is the term that a lot of the Aborigines used to use, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So this is why when you look at the word God, you have to ask yourself, well, what is God? Who is God? What are God's attributes? And in fact, God is not male. God is both male and female. This is why when you look at the Nag Hammadi, Christ referred to God as the mother-father God, or the father-mother. It was never the father. What it was is that through all the transliteration and translation and stuff, that group of people who shall remain nameless, they have a hierarchy, and you get respect when you're a man. So they made God masculine. So what it was is that Christ was even a rebel to even the way he described God, because they would want to come and say Father. But that's another trick as well, because even the Lord's Prayer is a bit of a shuffle as well. Because if you look at the Hebrew text, right? For the Lord's Prayer that Christ left us, I'm going to read the translation for you, and you'll see how different it is and where I'm going with this. It says, O birther of the cosmos, focus your light within us. Make it useful. Create your reign of unity now. Your one desire then acts with us. As in all light, so in all forms, grant us what we need each day in bread and insight. Loose the cords of mistakes binding us as we release the strands we hold of others' guilt. Don't let surface things delude us, but free us from what holds us back. For you is born all ruling will, the power and the life to do, the song that beautifies all. From age to age it renews. I affirm this with my whole being. Really, really different, right? From what they tell us about in the Lord's Prayer. And you see what he says, O birther of the cosmos, right?
Yeah.
No father, because the word that was actually there was Abvu, right? Not Abba, right? So this is the word father is in Aramaic, Abba, right? Which is verified by other times in using the Bible. But the word Yeshua used from the original translations was Abvun, A-B-W-O-O-N, which means source or birther, right? Mm. So his crucifixion was actually to the god Zeus, right? Enlil, because Enlil is the god of that said people that shall remain nameless. So it gets right. Really, really deep where you actually like pull back the layers, look at the etymology.
It's very complicated, and it's off by a couple letters. You know, it's the language makes a big deal. You mentioned that Satan was really just an adversary. I wonder, does mankind need to always have an adversary? I mean, is that kind of what drives us? Do we need the good and the bad? We have to have we're trying to like prevent Satan and banish Satan and do all these things. It's like, but don't you kind of need the Harlem Globetrotters play the Washington Generals, right? You got to have another team to play against, right? You got to have, even if that team is the losing team every time, right? You got to have somebody to fight against, right? Do we need a Satan, an adversary in our lives as mankind?
From my research, I will say yes. And I know it's sad to hear, but basically, even from my journey, what I realize is that you need adversities in order to rise. And what adversities do when you embrace them, just like fear, is when you stand on top of them, they cause you to level up. So we actually look at Satan in the wrong way, because the whole idea about Satan was created to instill fear. Satan, the way it is used, is a narrative. It is a narrative to put in religion to say, hey, you will do as I say. If not, you're going to go to this place and you're going to die forever, right? And this screamy character with a pitchfork who's red and horns is going to torch you forever. However, if you do this over here, you're going to live forever in a place called heaven. But there's something between those two that is common that a lot of people don't get. One is you die forever, and one is you live forever. Can you guess what is the commonality? Forever.
Forever.
What does that mean? It means you just pick your address. It means you can't die, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's these little nuances that I help people connect and realize, look, we are immortal beings. We're consciousness. We can't die. We just come here, have an experience, you learn things, and you go back. However, what seems to have happened is that the Anunnaki put in a soul-trapping system and created this matrix that doesn't allow us to get back. And Dolores Cannon describes this very, very well in her work, where when the silver cord is cut, that you leave the body and you're supposed to go back to source. She said that here is supposed to be like a playground, right? You come here, you want to have a physical experience, you want to laugh, cry, stump your leg, you know what I mean, get married, have children, get all these things, worldly things, and then when it's time, you just say, okay, see you later, Charlie, I'm going back now, I've had enough. And you go back, and I'll see you when you're ready to come back. That is really how it's supposed to be. But what's happened is that the Anunnaki, through their ego and their lust for veneration and worship, they installed a system, aka the matrix, to trap our souls. And it appears like if the moon is part of this whole soul trapping system. So you would leave here and there's a soul trapping system in the moon, and then it will basically catch you and spit you back out, and you come back in here and you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Because honestly, a lot of us have probably had thousands of incarnations, thousands, and we still haven't learned the lessons of life yet. And there's some people that even say that basically, you know, we created, and this is what Dolores Cannon says in her work as well, that we created soul contracts before we came here specifically to have all of these adversity, so that we would grow spiritually. So to answer your question, yes, it does appear in that long-winded explanation, but I have to make it relative so people understand that yes, we seem to do have to have these adversities, aka Satan, because these things actually come from our ego, because our ego is our enemigo, ego, enemigo, enemy, Satan, right? Adversary. So we are our own adversary.
We are our own biggest enemy, aren't we? We get it our own way.
But look at the double helix of our DNA, the two serpents, right? So you have the staff of Hermes. Basically, you have the rod going through the center, which is the path that Buddha says. He says you take the middle way. Christ said the path is narrow and few find it. And you know what I mean? He's talking about the same thing. And basically, you have the two twisted serpents going around. So on one time, that serpent over here is good. And then on that time, he's not good. Good, right. Bad, good, yeah. Bad. This is how we are in our life. Sometimes you do some really, really good things. Hooray. The other times we do some really bad things. Ah, shucks. You know?
Yeah.
So yes, we I wish it worked so, because honestly, I hate the pain myself. But... I am starting to embrace the pain now, and now my mindset is different, where with every adversity, I'm like, okay, what am I going to learn now? You know what? The harder the pain, the bigger the reward. All right. Instead of running from it, just accept it. Bring it on. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Because what it is that it forges a mentality where you're not going to give up. It's more like, it forges a mentality of steel, where it's like, there's nothing, like you become like Teflon, right? Similar to, and give a little parable, a little pun, similar to Teflon Trump. No, because no matter what they do to this guy, his popularity increases. I mean, there's not even me supporting him. There's just say it is what it is, right?
Like, it's what it is.
You know me, he's the Teflon Trump. So, and one of the things I like about him is that I've never seen this man get emotional in public. I've never seen this man get upset, like really upset. Lord knows his rag. And that particular thing about him where he stands up like a lion, I think that particular thing all men need to have in their lives. That particular thing to get attacked day in, day out, regardless if you like the man or not, that attribute in men, you know what that would have done? There would have been no lockdowns. There would have been no injection mandates. There'd be none of this crap about genders being taught in schools. There'd be none of this other stuff. That trait in Donald Trump, in all the men on earth, this planet would be a completely different thing. So we do need adversity in our life.
Yeah, we've been conditioned. That's been conditioned and bred out of a lot of men. They've been taught that they need to be weaker, that's toxic masculinity for standing up for yourself. But that, of course, is what you would do if you were trying to weaken people so that you could easily control them. I knew this was going to be a good conversation. I knew I was going to leave this feeling like we need to go through this, but we can handle it. You know, like we're going to go through some weird times, but we're going to be better for it coming out the other end. Todd, where's the best place for people to find you, to support your work, to maybe, you know, talk to you about those mushrooms down, you know?
Sure. So, well, first and first, I just want to say thank you for having me on your show today.
Thank you for coming.
It was a great conversation, and conversations like these are really what gave me the fire to keep going, because in my daily life, I don't really talk to many people because I like to have deep and meaningful conversations with people. And today in the world, it really doesn't exist. So as much as I do this for helping people, I do it for me because I'm isolated in terms of who we really can talk about these things. Because you can only talk about so much with your family. You know what I'm saying?
I think everybody feels that too. I think this audience feels that. Because I do. There's only so many people in your life that you can talk about the stuff with, and you know who they are for the most part, and it's not everybody in your life. It's only a certain people. So you feel kind of isolated about when it comes to these things. So you're not alone. First of all, I'll say thank you for coming on because we needed this conversation, and you're not alone, and I'm not alone, and the audience isn't alone. We're all collectively together feeling a little bit isolated because we can't talk to important people in our lives about all of this stuff for fear that they're going to think that we're crazy or they're not ready for it. Or frankly, we're not ready to have the conversation with them because we know they're not ready for the conversation. So you're not alone. We're glad that we're glad you came. We're glad you came. Anyway, tell people where they can find you.
So you can find me on Instagram, at Adriano_246. So during the day, I do podcasts as a labor of love. I'm a fitness trainer. So I help spiritually inclined people burn fat and build muscle. And one of the things I've realized is that if you want to go on a spiritual journey and to improve yourself spiritually, you need to work on your body and you need to get your body in shape. And the reason why is that you have a symbiotic relationship with your body and your mind. In order to get fit, you actually have to change your mindset. When you change your mindset, you grow new neurons in the brain, and we know that neurons that fire together wire together. What this will do is that this will allow you to create more light coming into your body. And as the more light that comes into your body, because light is information, it means you will be able to level up in consciousness, because then now things like what we're talking about now won't seem so weird because you're seeing and feeling a transition and a change in yourself. So you will be able to understand this type of information better. So that's why I help spiritually inclined people burn fat and build muscle, because fitness is on the way to spirituality and consciousness, because they're all linked. If you think about it, the mind, body, and spirit, this is what we are. We are a mind-body-spirit complex. I always explain it as like a stool with three legs. So if you take away one of those legs, that stool will fall. So no matter if you are really good with one, with, you know, your spirituality and your consciousness, but you're physically not in good shape, you're not right. You know what I mean? Because the body has to be able to withstand certain things, because the body is the vessel. The body is what allows, is the vehicle you travel. So you can find me on Instagram at Adriano_246. I'm also on Facebook, my name Todd Cave. I recently opened a Twitter account, or X. So my handle is at Adriano_246 as well. And I also created a podcast. So you can find me on Spreaker, Spotify, and all the other Odyssey, Rumble, you know, for the videos as well. And my platform is, my podcast is called The Conscious Man 7. So you can check me out on there and hear some of the other conversations that I've had. And if someone is interested in grabbing hold of some magic mushrooms, hit me up on any of my socials. And, at Adriano_246. And let's see if I can help you, because I'm on a mission to help as many people as I can, because what I realize is that it's not good for me knowing all these things and trying to create, improve things in my life with, I don't have any friends to come and celebrate after all of this is finished, because they're all dead, right?
Exactly. This is we're on a selfish mission here. We want friends. We want to keep the rest of people alive so that we have somebody to talk to. So you got to go to the gym. You got to get yourself healthy. You have to think like that. You have to get yourself spiritually healthy as well. And you've got to be careful of the things that you put in your body, whether that's the food that you put in your body or the information that you put in your body or whatever it is. You just have to be aware that it has an impact on you. So be careful of that. That's Todd Cave, everybody. Go support his work. And if you want to connect with me, the best way to do that is through the website macroaggressions.io. Thanks, everybody. I will talk to you again soon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.